Back in 1833 to 1896, there is a man by the name of Alfred Bernard Noble who made the discovery that brought his fortune. He discovered a power that before then the world did not know. And that was the power of something. And so he asked his friend, who was a Greek scholar, he said, "What is the word for explosive power?" And his friend said, "Dynamis," or "dunamis," which is actually in our text today we're going to read. He said, "Well, I'm going to call my discovery by that name." So he called his explosive power dynamite. Now, dynamite is not just something that puts a little hole in something and kind of just causes the tree to fall over. I mean, we're talking about rocks and everything around it explodes. We're talking about major power here. We're talking about a big explosion. So when you join me in Acts chapter 1, we're going to read verses 6 through 11 today. "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when he had said these things, they were looking on. He was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" As we look at this text of Scripture, there's nothing more powerful as nestled in the middle of that is that word dynamis or dynamite. That explosive power that God says we could have through the Holy Spirit. God has called us to be Spirit-filled Christians, not just religious people. And as we're going to get into a moment, you can say, you know what, there's a lot of Christians, there are a lot of people that have faith in Jesus Christ, but I would say there's very few Spirit-filled Christians. You know how I know that? Because if we work our way through the book of Acts, there's mentioned the time 14 times when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And do you know what happened afterwards every single time? They went out and boldly witnessed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as you look around you in the church today, how many of us and how many people, and this is convicting to me as I'm preaching, you know how I know I'm not Spirit-filled? Because I'm not sharing the gospel. Because the result of a Spirit-filled Christian is boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about, yeah, I go to this church over here kind of stuff. We're talking about proclaiming the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus and calling people to repentance, to turn from their sins, to turn to Jesus Christ. This is a powerful, powerful word when he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And that word power literally means miraculous power, force, ability, abundance, meaning and strength, and violent and a mighty work all wrapped up. Now, as we get into chapter 2, we're going to see there was a rushing and a violent wind that came when the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. The promise that God had promised. But let's break down this word power. First of all, is the word strength from dunamis, or ability. You want the ability to do what's right and live the Christian life, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the one that provides the ability to walk out the Christian life or to do what is right in the eyes of God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit resides within us. He has inerrant power by virtue of his nature. Holy Spirit is God, and he exerts and puts forth power. And think about that. God living inside of us with that kind of power in his nature inside of us as humans. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? I mean, come on. We're just little guys, aren't we, Chad? I mean, we're just humans, and little things can cause us to get down, but we have God living inside of us. If we have a faith and a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, if we said, yes, Jesus, I receive your eternal life. I believe you died and rose again. We have the hope of eternal life. We have God living inside of us. And that God, the Holy Spirit, exerts his power and nature through us. How do I know? Is the Word of God says so, because the Spirit testifies with my spirit, because God's Spirit causes me to persevere and live the Christian life. But a lot of us have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but we don't let the Holy Spirit have all of us. You see, when we are Spirit-filled, when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, when we let Him come on us in power, it's going to change everything in our life. And I don't know about you, but we need to pray for one another. This is what we need to pray for in our church. Not to have greater programs, not to even have greater numbers, because the only way to have true numbers is to have the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. We can build by having programs and on all of that, but what we're talking about is the Acts kind of thing, where people truly repented of their sins and came to faith in Jesus Christ because they had the power of the Spirit working in them. The Holy Spirit, not only that, has the power to perform miracles. A miracle is something supernatural outside of the natural order. A miracle is something like, we could use many examples, but I remember years ago praying over somebody that was not able to have a child, and they were able to have a child after that time of prayer. We just knew God came and healed that person. Or it's like a brother that serves as a missionary, and remember the guy, some of you that were here when he was here, had his head chopped off, and they just said there's nothing we can do, so they just sewed it back together, and then they prayed over him, and he was raised from the dead and healed. That's a miracle. This is miracle kind of ground here. Where Jesus ascended, did you know that Jesus took the disciples and all of his followers, which the Bible says he was seen by 500 at once, and I believe it was during this time when Jesus was taken up into heaven. But he took them 2 miles outside of Jerusalem to the West Bank in Bethany, it says in the end of Luke's Gospel, where the ascension occurred. That was the place that Lazarus was raised from the dead. That was the town that knew the miraculous power of the Lord. And so 2 miles is probably 30-minute, 40-minute walk, maybe 20 if you're running and you're in shape, 50 if you're me. So it says Jesus in Luke took them as far as Bethany. I don't know why he went there, but it seems like that was the place where Jesus had close friends. That was where he was surrounded. That's where Lazarus was raised from the dead, and the gospel was proclaimed so wildly and strongly in that town. The Holy Spirit has the power to perform miracles through us. The Holy Spirit provides moral power and excellence of soul. You want to become holy as God is holy? The Holy Spirit does that. That's included in this word, dynamite. So we're not just talking about fireworks here. We're not talking about moving a little bit of dirt kind of power. We're talking about power that explodes rocks and everything around it. We're talking about spiritual power that is available to the believer because of the promise of God and God living inside of us. Oh, if we would just surrender. The Holy Spirit has the power to influence, and he literally comes from that word that belongs to riches and wealth. You think, Man, if I had all the money in the world, I could clean the White House out, right? And clean the government up and fix all the problems of the United States. A lot of influence comes with that kind of power. But just think about God, who has unlimited amount of influence, can reside in us, can use us as a living pipeline or conduit of God's grace and power. The Holy Spirit also has infinite power and resources. It's like a country that's bigger than some small countries that has a lot of resources that can do and accomplish a lot of things. God has infinite resources. Dynamite is getting, I hope that word's getting a lot bigger. You shall receive power. It's not just the word power. It's infinite resources. And then the last thing, and I love this part of the Greek definition, is that Holy Spirit has power consisting in or resting upon armies or forces or hosts. And what are hosts when the Bible talks about hosts? Angels. The Holy Spirit inside of us has all the powers of all the armies of the earth and angels and angelic beings combined. And above that and more so. That's dynamite power. Well, you say, okay, I'm convinced that this is a big thing. This is a great thing to have this in my life. And why is it that very few Christians have the power of God in their lives? Well, the apostles had the same problem we do. Because it says in the text here that Jesus was speaking those things, and it says in Luke that the very last thing he was doing was blessing them as he was going up into heaven. But the very close to that, he was saying this very phrase, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. But notice what they did in verse 6. They said, Lord, will you at this time, we're all gathered here, look at this. We're in Jesus' hometown. We're in Bethany. This is getting good. Probably Peter's thinking that he's about to go and charge the capital and get rid of the Roman government and reestablish God's theocracy or God's government in Israel and Jerusalem. And he's about to just kick down the doors. We're gathered here. There's 500 of us. And this thing's going to grow because Lazarus was raised from the dead. And he uses that word restore, the disciples use. But number one, what gets in the way of the Holy Spirit's dynamite power is focusing on times and dates when Jesus will return instead of being an active witness. Or I call this being religious to cover up a responsibility for being a witness. And we've gotten really good at that in the American church today. We're obsessed with predictions. We have whole TV shows and people that have whole ministries based on trying to predict the times. And Jesus clearly says, guys, it is not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power. What is he saying there? This is the big obstacle that we have towards the power of the Holy Spirit, is that we're busy obsessing, trying to figure everything out. We're even trying to come up with new doctrines and find some deep truth that can wow everybody instead of just taking the scriptures as it is. And we are obsessed with times and dates that Jesus will return, and we use religious talk to avoid our real mission. I want to ask you today, what are you using to avoid the mission of preaching the gospel to everyone that God sends us to? You got it? All right, later or now, repent of it. And let's help each other repent of it. Number two, what else gets in the way of the Holy Spirit's power? Trying to do the Lord's work in the world's way. I think there's nothing more deceiving than this in the body of Christ today, is trying to do God's work in the world's way. Now, this is when the apostle said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of God? And that word restore means put it back to the way things were. You see, the apostles were thinking Old Testament. They were thinking, God, would you put it back to the way it is before? And I've even heard people pray in America, like, God, restore us to the times, Lord, when our grandparents and our great-grandparents and the early times in American history when we were ancient. I don't want to go to those times. I don't want to reinstitute slavery. I don't want to slaughter American Indians. I don't want to have husbands that abuse their wives and thinks that it's okay, and that it's okay to have the wife be the slave of the home. I don't want to go back there, because what Jesus was trying to say is that I have something new. The apostles wanted to go back to the way things were. Boy, as a pastor, I don't know how many times I've heard people say to me, Pastor, that's not the way we've always done it. Pastor, the chair that was on the stage never was on that side before. By nature, we want to go back to what was. Remember in the glory days, there was some good times in the glory days, but when Jesus talks about dynamite power, he's talking about something new. He's talking about something greater. He's talking about something more powerful. See, they were viewing God's kingdom as a merely political kingdom. They said, okay, Jesus is going to come and kick those nasty Romans out. He's going to pick us out a king, or he's going to be king, and Israel is going to be the prominent nation here. Will he do that one day? Yes. But he said, you will receive power. See, trying to do things of the Lord in the world's way is viewing things in a political fashion. Secondly, they restricted God's kingdom to one specific race. Did you know that in early American history, there was a lot of people in the church that believed that we were the New Jerusalem and that we were the royal race of God and we were to be the saviors of the world? And you just look in some of those old songs like Battle Hymn of the Republic and Onward Christian Soldier, all that, you find nuances of that in those songs. It's viewing and restricting God's kingdom to one specific race. We're the chosen one. We are the ones. We are the white saviors. And we still have this idea today when we go and do missions overseas, don't we? Well, I'm the American and I'm going to rescue them. Well, usually what happens is they end up praying for me and ministering to me and rescuing me, because they have a greater grasp of the glory of God, and they have miracles happening in these countries because they are consumed with wealth and riches and all the other political things that consume us. As Americans, we restrict God's kingdom. And they said, will you restore the kingdom of Israel? The disciples said. The last thing is restricting God's kingdom to one geographical area. God only works in my church. God only, and I've seen Christians with this attitude, if we don't have a certain style or a way of worship or a way of reading the Bible or this sort of thing, that God's present, he's just not with you all, but he's with me. In fact, I had in my past been guilty of that myself, but that's sickening to God. I want you to know that that's not God's mission. That's not God's vision. It's not tied to a geographical area. It's not tied to a specific race. It's not tied to a political kingdom. And let that be loud and clear as we're facing this election this year. I want you to know, and I'm going to say it many times before this sermon's up, that change does not come by putting a specific leader in place. Only change that can happen is if the body of Christ rises up, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and starts proclaiming the gospel, and people get regenerated and saved. Laws will not change until people preach the gospel. The laws will change after that. See, the solution here is not Trump or Hillary Clinton. The solution here is the church rising up in power and being a witness that we're supposed to be. That's when real transformation can happen. And that verse was quoted by Matt today. If my people will humble myself, who are called by my name, I will heal their land. humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. You think this is a new problem? Disciples, after Jesus rise from the dead, was with them 40 days, and they still thought it was going to be a political thing. But you will receive power. Too often we get caught up in the us for and no more thinking when the Holy Spirit and worldwide expansion cannot be separated. We're not the only people that are striving to walk holy before the Lord. In fact, there's a lot of people overseas walking more holy before the Lord and being persecuted, having their homes taken away. We are part of this great worldwide movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just tied to a pew or a worship time. It is the kingdom of God. So what does receiving of this real dynamite power from the Holy Spirit look like? And I want to define this dynamite from heaven very clearly as from the context of our text today. It is the explosive, life-changing dynamic of the Holy Spirit that operates through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why I said that? Because what does the verse say? And you will receive power and you will go out and do lots of miracles. You will receive power and you'll vote the right person into the government position. No, he says, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my... Well, what does it say there in the word? Let's wake up here. You will be my witnesses. Now, that sounds like a weak witness. You will be my
witnesses.
There we go. All right. The warrior got it. You see how as churchy religious people, we're even afraid to say the word. Well, after you open yourself up and receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's going to change all. Things aren't going to be the same no more in your life. But are you afraid of the Holy Spirit? Are you afraid, like I am, of what might happen if I allow God to come and fill me with boldness? Are you afraid that you might stand up in a grocery store and start preaching the gospel? Are you afraid that God might call you to go knock on the door and bring a pie to your neighbor and then invite him over and talk about how Jesus changed your life? Are you afraid? That's why we're saved. The kingdom of God. See, the Holy Spirit operates within the realm of a spiritual kingdom that comes through the proclamation of truth. Now, I want to invite you to turn in the Gospel of John to chapter 18, and I want you to see these words of Jesus when he was speaking to Pilate. John chapter 18, verses 36 to 37. Jesus says, answered, verse 36 of John 18, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting. He's saying, if this is a political thing, I would have armed all my disciples with swords. In fact, Peter had one hiding, remember that. Cut off the guy's ear in the garden. Jesus said, no, this is not what we're going to do. He healed the guy's ear. That I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to what? To bear witness to truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? I think probably when Jesus was on the cross crying, "It is finished," I bet you Pilate got a little bit more of an understanding of what truth is. And after he heard the rumors of the resurrection that the Jews were trying to squelch and cover over, but they couldn't do it. I shouldn't say Jews, the religious leaders of the Jews. See, the Holy Spirit operates in the realm of a spiritual kingdom with the proclamation of truth. If truth is not proclaimed, there's no Holy Spirit power. You know what I've noticed? A lot of what people call revivals today are just mere emotionalisms, and there's no truth coming out of them. There's not truth. The gospel's not being proclaimed. If repentance is not being preached, it is not a true revival. It says so in Acts. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus said, "I've come to proclaim truth." Second part of that is the Holy Spirit brings about the kingdom of God within a believer. And I just want to read real quickly for you Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' and 'There, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.'" Look at somebody around you. You. Your neighbor. The kingdom of God working through our lives. Third thing. The Holy Spirit operates within God's kingdom, which is both invisible and eternal. See, in Matthew 6, Jesus talks about, don't concern yourself with earthly things, don't worry. And then we have Matthew 6:33. Who can quote that verse? It's a famous verse. Say it louder. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, the disciples had their focus on earthly things. Jesus said no. In the earlier part of Matthew chapter 6, don't store up things that are going to rust and fade away and going to burn up. All these things that we see and hear and have and technology and things like that, they can be useful, but they're going to burn one day. The reality of the kingdom is within us. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's a relationship with God. It's invisible and internal. See, change does not happen by instituting law. You say, what do you mean by that? Remember back in the days when they prohibited the Great Prohibition and they prohibited alcohol? How many have ever studied that? Did you... Or heard about that in school or college or things like that? Did the consumption of alcohol go up or go down? No. It went up. Law doesn't change. Only regeneration through the Holy Spirit can change. Money can't change. Even miracles themselves, apart from Christ, cannot change our lives. After all, look at all the miracles Jesus did right in front of them, raising Lazarus from the dead, and people still didn't believe. It only comes through the preaching of the gospel and regeneration. You say, okay, I get it. How do I access this power for my life? First of all, remember last week we talked about how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You have to ask. You're not asking for the Holy Spirit to come and move inside of you. He's already there. But you have to ask, Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you to take over my life. I'm inviting you to take control. begins by asking. So here's what you got to do this week. Begin to ask, God, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, come and take control of my life. Just like the early church did, they prayed for it, they got the power, and they went out and witnessed. But here's the second part, which I think Americans have difficulty with, is that we have to be willing to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have to be willing to let Him be in control of our lives. And if He tells you to stand up in a marketplace and preach the gospel, then what are you going to do? Stand up and do it. But it's not going to be in that shaky fear anymore, because when God sends His power, you will do something that you won't even know. Now, remember a brother in our church, a Christian, who would never probably in his past get up and share something so boldly and loudly. All of us that know him and that have seen his testimony and how God has grown. One day he found himself up here preaching in one of our services. He said he didn't know how he got there, but I do. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He surrendered at that moment, and God got him up here and spoke through him. And before he was done, he didn't even realize what was happening. That is Holy Spirit power. It's Him being in control of our lives. But we have to be willing to receive. Perhaps you're afraid of the Holy Spirit because you've seen the Holy Spirit marginalized or made a mockery out of because how He was used or how the gifts of the Holy Spirit were misused and not according to the Scriptures. You've seen the substitutes of the devil for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which brought about fleshly works in people's lives. That still doesn't change the fact that He's still real, and He still has power, and He wants to invade your life. So I want to challenge you today to lay aside all the garbage and all the things that the world has offered, or even the church world has offered to you about the Holy Spirit. And say, God, I'm done being cynical. I'm done being dry and crusty. I'm done being afraid. Come unto me and do as you will so that I could be a witness for your kingdom. God knows that some of you are going to be doing things that you never thought you were going to be doing before. Are you ready to drop the fear? This is God's plan. It's His program. There's no other way to grow the church. There's no other way to preach the gospel, to live the Christian life. We've made lots of other ways today. Thirdly, we have to be willing to act in faith and go proclaim the gospel. Jesus said, all authority is given to me. Go and preach the gospel. The result of Holy Spirit power is obedience to the Great Commission. So how are you going to know you're filled with the Holy Spirit? One, we know the fruit of the Holy Spirit is going to begin to manifest in your life, but that's still not enough. You're going to boldly witness. Well, I'll just leave that for the pastor to do and the ones in the church that have the loud mouths that like to talk, and you know that they're able to speak in front of anybody, and that if you can talk in a conversation with your spouse or your family members, you can talk to people about Jesus. Why don't I do it? Well, if we let the Holy Spirit take control, we're going to find out that it's okay to do it. And that we'll have the power to do it. We'll have the strength to do it. And we will become His witnesses. And the word witness means to be a knowledgeable person or a spectator of something and to testify of it. And if you want to go deeper into that word witness, it's those that follow Christ's example of dying for their faith. But he noticed what he says in the text there in Acts. He says, you will be witnesses just where it's comfortable to you. Just in your own holler. Says, you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Samaria, and then he says, the surrounding regions, and to the ends of the earth. God has called us to think globally in our witness, whether we're supporting a persecuted church overseas or a Christian, whether we are praying for a brother or sister, and when we're doing our job here at home sharing the gospel. And I know that some people will say, you know, I remember a missionary saying, you know, these people came up to them and said, I want to be a missionary and go serve the Lord in Africa. And the reply was, how can you go serve the Lord in Africa when you're not witnessing to people right around you in your home? How many neighbors have you witnessed to? You're not ready to go to Africa. It starts with our Jerusalem. Starts with our holler. Starts with our neighborhood as we share the gospel. We want to know the secret expansion of expansion in the church is being a spirit-filled missionary. Every Christian being a missionary. The secret of expansion of the kingdom of God in Taze Valley and Scott Depot is for us to have a pastor that clearly preaches the word and gives the gospel invitation in the church service. Nope. The secret for expansion is every single one of you becoming a missionary. In fact, to be called a Christian means to be a witness of Christ's work in your life. And so, has God called you? Well, if you're a believer in Christ, He has. There's no way around that. So how do we live in the dynamic power of the Spirit? I love this because can you picture Peter and some of the ones like standing there as Jesus was blessing them and he was being ascended and lifted up into heaven, and they were like, and then it says in the text that they couldn't see him anymore. So, you know, Peter's like, John, do you have a little telescope? Go to the Hubble Space Center and see if we can still see him. I want you to notice the progression of words, look, and gaze in there. First of all, when they were looking, they were seeing with the bodily eye. In other words, they were experiencing Jesus going up. It was the real thing. They were seeing him ascend into heaven. And then it says they were looking on. In other words, they had their eyes fixed on. And then when the angels appeared and they said, the two men stood with the white robes, they said, why do you stand looking into heaven? That was to turn one's eye on, to look at with a mind to consider. So what did Jesus say before? Go wait in Jerusalem for the promise because you're going to be my witnesses. But they were obsessing with what they could not see anymore because Jesus had already been taken into the clouds. They were still looking. Their minds were still saying, well, is he going to appear to us by the sea like he did the other day and go fishing with us and have breakfast with us again? Is he going to next week go in and storm the castle and get rid of the Romans? They were obsessing with what they could not see instead of taking responsibility. And the angels rebuked them and said, Jesus is going to come back in the same way he's come. So are you a spiritual daydreamer? Or an active, obedient servant of Christ? You know, as a pastor, and many times when I get to studying and I get excited and I get a praying, sometimes I become a spiritual daydreamer. I picture people getting saved and I picture people doing this and God's power flowing through my life. And I get so excited and then none of that's happening. Could it be that I'm not going out and being a witness? Not surrendering my life to the Holy Spirit, so I've become a spiritual daydreamer, and I've looked up, and I'm fixed on that. Jesus, when are you going to come back? Instead of, I'm going to tell every soul I possibly can about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because He could come back tomorrow. See, always remember that Jesus is coming back. He's going to return at every moment. We have to live every moment for Christ. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come on. You want that power? It's big. It's explosive. It's what really grows God's church. So don't raise your hand, but how many are going to start asking this week? Say, I'm tired of the flesh. I'm tired of religiosity. I'm tired of status quo as normal. How many are going to begin to ask, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit? How many of you are going to hold your pastor accountable and your brothers and sisters accountable? Have you been praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit? When we gather together on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, are we praying for the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we have a bold witness in our word? Or do we kind of casually show up to church and that's it? Oh, that was a great service today. Or are we coming to say, God, we need your power because I'm facing difficult circumstances. There's people that I don't know what to say to that are in my work or across my school or wherever I'm at, and I need power. It's when with a church comes, and you notice this as we get into Acts, every time they just come together and they pray for the Spirit to fill them. And it says, the Spirit comes, sometimes He shakes, sometimes He doesn't. But they go and boldly declare the Word of God as the result. But you will receive power. It's a promise from Christ Himself. If you believe in Christ, do you believe He keeps His promises? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Father, I admit, as your follower, that I've ignored your Holy Spirit. I've fearfully pushed Him aside or kept Him in check with my flesh, so to speak. Lord, right now I'm just inviting you, Lord, and that you take me and all my brothers and sisters on this journey of brokenness and surrender and fully yieldedness to the Jesus Christ. We invite your Holy Spirit to begin to come and move upon us. Lord, I pray that all this week there be plenty of people asking for the blessing and for the power. You promised to give it to us. But Lord, remove these false ideas out of our mind. Remove our stubborn pride and have your way. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for our consumption with earthly things. Have your way, God. As we continue to pray, I just want to ask, if you're here today and you are not sure that if you were to walk out this door and you were to die today, that you would go to heaven. You're just not sure. The Bible says that you can be sure. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Jesus died in your place for your sins and He rose again, and He's offering you eternal life, and He's called us to receive it, to take it. So, if that's you today, in order to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you have to be saved first. And I just want to ask if that's you today, don't wait. But I want to ask if you're willing to just slip up your hand and say, yes, I want to be sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to receive Jesus Christ in my life. Is there anyone else? Those of you that raised your hands today, right now where you're seated, I'm just going to give you a moment and we're going to continue to pray. Something like this, say, you know, the Bible says, believe on Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is your leader now and believe that God has raised us from the dead. So simply just tell him in your own words, say, I believe you died for me. I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that you provide forgiveness. You paid my punishment. I believe you rose again. Just tell him that in your own words and say, I take eternal life. I receive it. Just in your own words, in your own way. Jesus, we surrender to you as the Lord of our lives. We repent. We turn away from our way of being the captain of the ship and we turn to follow you. If you prayed that today, if you received that, the Bible says that you are a child of God. And so now, you need to begin to ask, God, take over my life with your Holy Spirit. God, I want to get into your word and join a church that's preaching the gospel. And for those of you that are saved, well, now we're all in this together. Ask and you will receive. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Father, I pray that you'd bless each person that's here. God, I pray that even in the quietness of our hearts now, that you would move and tug and convict. Lord, I pray the conviction would not stop when we walk out these doors and we go home. Lord, please break us out of this sinful cycle, Lord, of doing things the political way. Like, break us out of it, Lord. Break our gaze. Break our daydreaming. Come and have your way. Lord, I pray that you protect us. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, that you'd fill us with power to witness to every person that you've called us to that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You have a great week. Yes, sir.